Welcome to my Blog Talk Radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joydy Nader. I'm a coach, singer, songwriter, artist, and the author of the book, The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am super happy to have my inspiring friend, Robert Berry, back as my guest today. We will be talking about Beyond Shadowland, the new album by 6x6, during the show. Welcome, Robert.
Hi, Margot. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. How are you?
I'm excellent. It's an exciting day. I have a new single out today for the band and, you know, trying to see what the comments are and if people like it or not. That's a hard thing for an artist in general. If it's a painting or a music, whatever, are people going to like it? You know, all excited. You do what you believe, what you feel. You get it done and then it's going to come out, but then it comes out. So then you have to, uh-oh. Well, let's see what happens now. Oh, boy.
Well, you know, the thing about it is that even the best things that anybody creates, there's going to be some people that don't like them, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember Wayne Dyer saying years ago that a landslide's when you get 51% of the people to vote for you.
Well, you know, it's funny. In my past, and you knew the band Hush that we had here in the Bay Area,
I loved Hush,
late 70s,
yeah.
Early 80s, we were sort of a mainstay of all the clubs and concerts, and we did really well.
Uh-huh.
And we finally had won a BAMMY, had a record contract, but there was nowhere else to go, so I broke up the band. It's just we couldn't crack that next step. And I had a big farewell thing, and somebody posted, I think it was in the Mercury News, the paper here, when newspapers were big, you know. Who cares if Hush broke up? It was the big deal. They're just a band, you know. And every agent, every venue, every booker, of it, manager all chimed in. Who cares? These guys brought people into venues. They, when they played the clubs, they treated people right. People entertained. They sold alcohol, more drinks than anybody. They did it at a high. It was the best thing ever happened that the negativity came out with one person, because the people that you touch and that care and you do a good job for came to your defense. So, you know, the negative comments sometimes aren't a bad thing.
Well, they get people talking. That's true. And it does get them, the ones that love it, to defend it, you know. And I have to say, you know, I heard Hush play live a lot of times, and also love the albums that you guys created. It just that was when you were, well, when I first met you was when Hush was together. So yeah, a lot of years and a lot of bands and a lot of recordings since
then. When I look at my discography of all the albums and stuff, because I don't really think in terms of what I've done in the past, I'm always looking towards what's going to happen next. But then, you know, Rob Fowler, my good friend, and the guy that does all the graphics and does the album covers, did an amazing job in the new 6x6 Beyond Shadowland. He posts them on the website, and all of a sudden there's like, you know, 40 albums, 45 albums. And I've written most of the lyrics in these things, and I don't think in terms of how am I going to get some more ideas? What am I going to say? I just don't. It just happens, you know. But there's a long trail of music in the last, you know, so many years that I just don't realize the amount of work and what's gone into it. I'm proud of it, but I just don't think about it. I don't even know what I'm talking about right now. So,
well, you're thinking about it right now while you're talking about it, but no, it's true. I mean, people need to go on your website and see all the different albums that you've worked on, and that, oh my gosh, you know, it is mind-blowing.
I've been very, very fortunate, and today, we'll see if my luck holds out with this song, Obliex. What's funny is Ian John Tasker and Diane, who's in L.A., run something called the Robert Berry Appreciation Group, which is about the people I appreciate. You know, they post things about Ian and maybe Hush, whatever. Just, it's not about me. It's about the people I appreciate. We should have you and Dudley on there. In fact, she should interview you guys about, because it's about what people do and what their expertise is and my circle of friends and all that, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, Diane Klinko just interviewed, I forget who it was, somebody that works here at the studio, Paul. And then she's, anyway, it's Ian now in England who posted, mm-hmm. he saw the song first and heard it first and saw the video because they released it early in the morning, UK time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's posted three things and spelling Obelix different each time. It's hopefully that creates some controversy. People are going to say, what the hell does it mean and how do you spell it, you know?
Yeah. Well, I had to email you and ask you how to pronounce it because I looked it up on Google and couldn't find it.
So. It's a word, actually, that Ian Crichton, our guitar player, made up. He sends me these little guitar strokes of genius, little nuggets, you know, 2, 4, 8 measures of things that he's created in
uh-huh.
which I used to write the songs off of. And that was the title of it. And what's that mean? So I looked it up and I found, I don't know, some maybe cartoon character. I found something all spelled differently and all a completely different word. And I said, Ian, this doesn't mean anything. He goes, yeah, it's just a placeholder. And by the time I got the lyrics done, I thought, this is a new word. It's going to mean what this song is about, you know, finding euphoria, finding the perfect place, leaving all this mean old world behind. And that's what it means now, in my mind.
I love
anyway,
that.
Right?
I love that. You guys created a new word.
Yeah, we'll see if it sticks.
Well, I don't know. People who love words like I do are going to really appreciate it because, I mean, it's so cool that there's a new word out there. It's part of a song, which I have heard, and I really like it. So
yeah,
I will
thank you.
Say that right now. And I saw the video this morning before it was time to call in for the show, and I really like that too. So, but I don't want to talk about that song too much before we play it because we're going to play
okay.
that and also going to play the Arms of the Word on the show.
Arms of a Word. And that's something, since you're so into words too, that I thought you'd appreciate the lyrics on that because it's about how important words are.
The Arms of a Word. I had written it down in front of me
the
wrong way.
Yeah, it's Arms of a Word. In fact, they originally had a press release that says Arms of the Word. I'm going, you know, we're not a religious band. No, Arms of the Word sounds like they're talking about the Bible or something. You know, so no, it's Arms
of
a Word.
Oh, you're right.
You know,
right.
Words matter, how you say things. We're all saying these mean things now. We're not all of us, but, you know, social media in general, since we can't make it go away, is a place
mm-hmm.
for the people with the biggest mouths to post the most angry stuff. And I'm just sick of it. So the words matter.
Oh, you know what? That's the thing. Words have always mattered to me.
Yeah.
And not just words, but how you say the words. The tone of voice that you use matters.
Yeah.
Facial expression. I've been starting to pay more attention when I'm watching movies and TV shows to the actors. And a lot of times, they're not even really saying much of anything or not anything at all. It's mostly just their expression or their body language that gets
yeah.
the message across. But especially when you have words, depending on how you say them, the tone of voice, whether it's loud or soft or harsh or compassionate, makes a big difference.
And that's the problem of social media. You know, you read into it whatever you think the person's saying or their attitude. Or I have a post on my Facebook, you know, do people, something like, do they see you, does everybody see you the same? Does everybody see you as a different person? Because I think people see me as a different person. The people in the studio here think of me as a producer, musician.
Mm-hmm.
The people see me on stage think of me a performer. And
mm-hmm.
Evidently, when I'm telling the stories and stuff, they think I'm a good storyteller, although I don't think I am, but they think so. So they see me that way.
Mm-hmm.
And my accountant here at the studio just thinks of me as a bumbling idiot. So
I think our accountant thinks that of me too lately. Yeah, I got
this
access to him late.
Everybody sees
it
differently, you know, and it's interesting. And with the word, and you say, like the facial expression and the tone, people
mm-hmm.
can really know who you are. But a lot of times, even for me on stage, I'm a different person than I am at the studio.
You know, I have known you for a long, long time, as you know, and
Yeah.
To me, all of those different things that you have said people know you as, I know you as all of them. Except
yeah.
the bumbling tax person thing, you know. Don't
and
know that.
That's a long friendship that changes that whole thing. But, you know, when you're on, I don't know. Like my son says, Dad, be careful what you say. You know, you have over 5,000 friends on that. Well, those are people that I don't know like you or like the guys in Hush or Ian and Nigel, you know. These are people I've spent. More time, close time, and I know both you and Dudley, and I know your son, so we have a family connection too.
Right.
So it does change things a little bit, and you know, the kind of person, at least I'd like to be, you know.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, I know the kind of person you are. I mean, you wouldn't be able to hide that from me after all these years.
Click.
But you are a really good storyteller. I love the stories that you tell, not just when you're on stage, but also when you're on my show and other interviews that you've done and that sort of thing. You are really a good storyteller.
Well, I don't think
so,
of myself like
of
that, but I do.
How about you tell us a little bit about Shadowland and
okay.
Then also we want to play the song, the first
okay.
song, and then talk about it, and then the second song and talk about it, so we want to have enough time to do those things.
Okay. Well, as a writer of a book, you might be thinking about your second book, and I had to think about our second album. The first album did way better than the views on YouTube of Save the Night, the reviews of the fan base and the magazines, it was 110% in my musical career. It was really great. And, of course, I have two great musicians in the band with Nigel, you know, from a heavy metal background, and Saxon, but he's also with me in GTR. He's really solid. And Ian's just a genius on guitar. It was something I really thought was good, but you never know till it's released. So it did really well. So here
mm-hmm.
we go. Second album. And Ian sends me a few things. I sent him some things back, and he calls me. He goes, you know, this isn't as good as the first album.
Who said that?
Ian, the guitar player. You know, he sends me a few parts, and I write some songs around it. I put some stuff in. I send it back to him, and he goes, this isn't as good as the first album. He was feeling the same thing I was. There was a pressure to excel, you know, to meet the first album or excel past it. And we had decided not to do the same record twice. So we weren't just going to write the same kind of songs and put them together. We were going to make this one a little bit heavier. But the first couple songs I worked on, once I sent it to him, we both felt the same. It wasn't as good as the first album. And the pressure we put on ourselves can be a roadblock, and it can stop creativity. But one of the
mm-hmm.
things I like to say and I believe in, it's easier to fix an idea than to get one. So
yep.
those first two songs, I put the ideas down and I got it. And when he called me and said that, I said, yeah, Ian, you haven't worked on it again. Do something. Get it back to me. He did a little something more, some more genius guitar stuff. He's so good. And it sparked me into, like, taking it to the next level. I sent it back and he said, these are the writing demos. This isn't the when the band gets together, he goes, this is it. This is happening. And it took 2 months to get there because of the pressure we put on ourselves because of the success of the first album.
Mm-hmm.
So once we got past the first two, the next song started flying out. I think Obliex was maybe song 4 we wrote.
Mm-hmm.
Nigel sent me a couple, Titans. One of our favorites, funny enough, when people get the album, I can't wait to see what they think, because the record company, the management, nobody said anything about Titans. It's like they don't like it, you know. So I'm waiting to see, because we really like it, and we think it's going to sound great live. The next song, Nigel even sent me something called Sympathize, got that together. They just started flying out, and we got together and recorded here at Soundtech, of course, which was a lot of fun. The guys like, you know, this restaurant. It used to be Smoky Mountain, which was a club that Huey Lewis and Hush and everybody played. and now it's the water tower. And believe it or not, they go in there and they both love the grilled cheese sandwich. It's this big, thick bread and all this cheese. And it's, but they have everything with jambalaya to steaks, everything. But they like that, you know. It's funny. So we had a great time doing that. We did some video shooting. Then, you know, I mix it and get it to the record company. And the songs we thought would be singles aren't the ones they pick, which is usually the case. The band never seems to know what the record company thinks the fans will go for. And Obliacs, because it's a medium kind of slower tune, we thought, oh, no, you don't want to put out a slow tune. And I've been worried about it up till this morning because it's one of my favorites on the album. It has, I think, one of the greatest mellow but fiery raw guitar solos I've ever heard Ian do. And I didn't think that people would give it a chance to get there, but evidently I'm going to look at YouTube right now and see what it says as far as, you know, only came out a few hours ago, and there's 1,350 views, which isn't a lot, but, you know, we get to 350,000 on the last album after 4 or 5 months. It's been out 130 likes. There's, you know, it's ticking
along.
You
know, I have a question, though, about the YouTube views.
Yeah.
The, when I clicked on the Facebook link for it on my phone, it said I could just listen to it that way or I could go to the app. So there's probably some people that are listening to it without going to the YouTube app. So those probably don't get counted in the views.
We've posted the video now. They posted a thumbnail at first. I'm not sure why they did that. That's the record company, you know. And I don't know, but it does, you know, I wonder the same thing. It comes up with two different counters, and one has, I don't know, so many views, and then there's this other one that's the real video that seems to be doing really well. I don't know why they do that. I'm going to ask them about it.
Yeah. It was confusing because the first time I clicked on one of the links, I just saw the album cover, and the other time I actually saw the video, and the video is really cool. So I really highly recommend people do check it out later. But we've got to start playing a song and talking about it before we run out of time. So I thought I would play The Arms of a Word first, since that's the one that's been out the longest.
Arms of a Word, that was good. Well, you've been practicing.
No, I changed it in my notes. it's interesting when you said the word versus a word. I mean, it does make a huge difference in the way it feels. But
just one word changes that, and that's the meaning of the song, really, you know? It's what the way the words reach people and what is said needs to be kind, loving, thoughtful. I mean, anyway, I'm talking again. You know, I can blab, you know that.
That's okay. I love talking with you as well. All right, I'm going to play it, and then we'll talk about it some more after people have listened to it. And I just want to let everybody know it's about 5.5 minutes long, and it is The Arms of a Word. I actually wrote it right on my Blog Talk, my Blog Talk studio here. So here we go. Arms of a Word, 6x6.
Of the world, we dream that by the street is right.
Wow.
All the way to the end, all right.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, now tell us a little bit about the song and about what some of the lyrics are that people haven't seen the video maybe or hearing but not really realizing are there. What were you guys thinking of when you created this song and the title for it?
You know, really what we've spoken about is, you know, the word itself, you know, how you speak, what you say, the
mm-hmm.
tone, how
mm-hmm.
you look when you, you know, this song, it's, I still feel the power in the arms of a word, even though there's so much hate speak. I mean, I hate to use the buzzwords and all this stuff that's going on. There's
yeah.
so much cruelty and rudeness going on in the world with everybody that's an, what do they call it, an armchair warrior or something, where they're on their computer, think they can say whatever they want. You don't see them.
Mm-hmm.
There's no engagement. There's no interaction. They just say these things, you know. There's really a lot of power in the correct words and being kind. And I think if we make the world a better place and we treat the world as a better place and to each other we treat each other better, some of the problems that aren't really problems are just going to disappear.
I agree. I totally
yeah.
agree.
It's just, yeah.
What did you mean by the arms of a word, though, the arms?
Basically, it's the reach that when we talk about, you know, I'm a real big positive thinking person
mm-hmm.
and so are you.
Yeah.
When we reach with those words and we're positive
uh-huh.
and like I'll tell somebody, you know, well, someone's going to be a star, might as well be you. You know, that the reach of those words in their mind, since I've had some success in this business, I think
yeah.
has some power to them. It empowers them to think, well, you know, he's right. I mean, someone's going to do it. Weird Al got famous doing parodies. I mean, well, I can do it, you know. And so there's that power. Of course, I also talk about in the words, I can't find the charm in what's going on. You know, they have crossed eyes and knives out, like knives out, no beauty. Because everybody
mm-hmm.
is, it's called clickbait, right? They used
oh, right,
to read
yeah.
something, but the first thing is, so-and-so poked their eye out. Go, what? And, oh, the eye of the tiger was a song by blah, blah, you know. They bait you with these things, and it's...
I've unfollowed on Instagram a lot of the places that do seem to have clickbait type things, you know, like they get me curious, I click on it, and then it's just like all these ads and
yeah.
nothing to do with what it really was, and it's like
that's
really
right.
long and waste of time. So I won't name which ones I've unfollowed
yeah.
or whatever you call it, unliked on Instagram. But yeah, I definitely, and I've also unfriended a few people on Facebook that I didn't really even know that have been saying negative things. So I don't have any room for it.
Yeah, I unfortunately want everybody to hear the music and, you know, like to let the fan base hopefully be kind and not post stuff. I don't really get stuff posted like that, political
no,
and
no,
things
I,
really.
No, they weren't posting it on mine. I'm just seeing things that they're
yeah.
posting. Yeah, yeah.
But in general, yeah. It's I just don't kind of have, I mean, the truth for me is I wish they'd shut down the internet. I wish I didn't have to do social media. Although there's people that I really enjoy that I speak to or that get to me. I just heard from one of the guys, Stuart. He says, I thought the song was gripping as soon as I heard you sing one line of the verse. Wow, that was wow. Yeah, I'd love hearing that kind of stuff. Stuart Chambers is a professor in college in Canada.
Uh-huh.
So I speak to his class once in a year, which is really an honor for me.
Oh,
and for
cool.
him to take the time to post that, you know, I like seeing that stuff. Not that I need to see it. So if I wasn't on social media at all, I'd be a
uh-huh.
happy guy because then I don't have to put up all the other BS.
Yeah, no, I totally get what you're saying. And I love what I like about Instagram is, to me, I've told Xander this a bunch of times, is that to me it's started out with, and it still is, my Instagram is an online photo journal, and then I just write a few words about what I'm thinking about that day, what I'm focusing on or whatever. Always positive. I even had a couple of people go, wow, Margo, you never post anything negative. Yeah, that's a conscious thing. We can make conscious choice to post and speak positive words.
Arms of a word, that's it.
Yeah, the arms of a word. Okay, we need to talk about the next song a little bit briefly before I play it, and then I want to play that.
Okay. I'll tell you that I was, it's one of my favorites on the album, Obliex.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm saying it different too. Obliex.
Obliex, yeah. Obliex.
Because we made up the word, and I have three different spellings from Ian John Tasker on it.
Mm-hmm.
I sent a note this morning saying, Ian, it's spelled like this. I know it's a weird one to remember, and it's not in the song. So it's just the title of the song, right? It's just
interesting. I hadn't noticed whether it was in the song or not.
Nope. It's not in there. It would be hard to sing in rhyme with anything, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
It's really about, what is it about? I hate analyzing my own song.
Why don't you talk about that after I play the song? Excuse me.
Okay.
And cue it up first, so I have to find it. So it would be under O. There it is. Okay, and this one's just under 5.5 minutes, so...
Yeah,
Obliex by six. I like it a lot, Robert. It's growing on me each time I listen to. So here we go.
I think it's Obliex. The best guitar solo Ian's ever done.
He's amazing. He really is. All three of you are in your own ways. But, yeah. And you can see that also in the video as well. They can look at that later after they've listened to this show.
Yeah.
But, yeah, here's the song, Obliex, 6x6.
It's like the tip of a life is breaking out in the world again. The scum gathered up as we pass by and sail to the other end. Caught in the middle of summer.
Wow, Robert, I love it.
Yeah, that's
and
sort of a sequel, a little bit of a sequel to Arms and a Word, and it also, the video is, I'll tell you, it's something I tried to get at Ben Madu, but we ran out of time. This is sort of about escaping all this stuff that we just talked about with social media and all that, and finding the perfect place that's perfect. Like, I don't know, what, you know, euphoric. And
I said,
at the end of this, I want this guy that's been traveling through the arms of a word and through space now with Odeliox, I want him to land on some planet. I don't care if it's Mars. I don't care what it is. Solar eclipse. I don't care what it is. And he gets off and he walks down from the spaceship, and there's Mother Teresa, John Lennon, Gandhi, all these people that were successful in their life, but it was about love and peace, and they have found the place before him, right? He wasn't the first one to find this euphoric place, and they just couldn't make it happen. But that was my goal in the song, you know, how do we find this place where we're all happy again and not arguing about everything?
I love that idea. I totally love that idea. While I was listening to the song, Dudley, my husband, for listeners who don't know who he is, came in and he gave me a note and said, you've been talking about Ian's guitar playing. It's a trio, and I'm blown away by Robert's bass lines.
Well, you know, it's funny. By getting Nigel, this all leads to Nigel, the drummer. To get a guy that's as solid as he is, that can still play the fancy stuff when he needs to, because we're a little progressive. You know, we call it a hard progressive or a hard rock progressive band, whatever we are, you know, I don't even know.
It does
know.
Seem like it's kind of a blend between hard rock and progressive,
yeah.
So, yeah.
Definitely, and that's what we wanted to do. In this album, we wanted it to be a little bit heavier on the guitar, but without Nigel anchoring this whole thing super solid and really just having that feel that he has. And some drummers are good, but they don't have a feel. And other drummers have this thing that is sort of, you can't figure out what it is, but it just, when you play it with the guy, the song just feels right.
Right.
That
yeah, it definitely
gives
feels
me,
right.
Yeah. It gives me some room on the bass to do a few, I don't know, McCartneyism, Chris Squireisms, I don't know what it is, you know, something that gets a little more, I wouldn't call it complex, but a little more soulful in some of the parts than just playing the root notes. And bowing away. Anyway, it's cool that Dudley has noticed that. I appreciate that.
Well, you know, it's so
just
true.
Perfect,
I mean,
band for me, you know.
Yeah. Well, all three of you are masters at what you do, and then you combine it, and you get this whole new way of hearing what each of you can do, because it's like you said, it's a combination of kind of hard rock with progressive rock as well. And can't wait to hear all the rest of the songs, personally,
it's a very interesting album too. We've gone, there's a real acoustic number on there, and it's just basically vocal and acoustic guitar, sort of the cleanse the palate halfway through the album.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's this big chant Titan piece I talked about, which is a pretty powerful song. And it really runs the gamut. We did not want to do the same album twice in a row. And I'm hoping that people, they pick up on that. We have a sound and a style because we do exactly what we do individually together. You know,
right.
It just combines in a magic way that I just feel great about it. It's hard for me to explain. Again, I don't like dissecting things too much. Ian, when we did the first album, says, I like some of those lyrics a little more psychedelic, you know. You don't quite pin down the point, because I'm used to really honing in on the message. And he sort of gave me license to leave it a little more ethereal, you know, a little more open so people can read their own thing into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've done that with the music a little bit too, because Obliacs definitely isn't in a typical format. It's got what, 5 verses or something, and there you go.
Well, I'm super curious at this point too to see what the cover's going to be like and what the title's going to be like for the third album when it comes out.
Well, Rob Fowler does our art on the covers and stuff, and
yeah.
He came up with the little guys in the sidecar in the first album, and we thought, oh, that's really, really different. That's going to set us apart from a lot of covers. We love that. He designed not only the new cover, because we need to come out from beyond the shadows. This is our second album. We're actually
mm-hmm.
on the album cover, way in the distance, walking forward, which if you look at the little thumbnails they have, you might be able to see that, maybe not. And he came
mm-hmm.
up with the name. When he said, well, here's a working title just because I need to put something where it's going to go and show you the colors and stuff. And the band, we were sitting there and we said, done. We're good with it. And what's interesting is someone pointed out that there's a number on the airplane that turns out to be something of significance in the past that I'm not going to say because people
yeah.
have to find out for themselves.
Yeah, yeah. Well, make people go look at the album cover and the video as well. You know, we only
yeah.
have less than 2 minutes left.
That figures. Without, yeah.
Yeah, I probably should have set this up for an hour.
Really,
once,
that's okay, though. We've had a good talk, and we do every 6 months or so, we got to update this thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay, so what do you want to leave our listeners with during the last minute and a half we have?
If we have 2 people working on a tour. Of course, the manager's working on it, starting in Germany, Netherlands, maybe kind of area,
mm-hmm.
Going to Puerto Rico, possibly doing a few here. September, October kind of time frame, Nigel's off tour with Saxon then. Ian doesn't have any Saga dates. And even though this isn't a side project, we still have our other things we do musically, and mine is the studio and producing music, and theirs is playing in a band that's been successful. So that's the hope. The problem is that everybody and their brother is still out touring, and to get enough dates in a row so you can financially do it, because it's so expensive to tour these days, it's hard
yeah.
to come up with that. We're looking for a U.S. agent, and we thought we had one guy, but he's been a little elusive. So we're going to look for another U.S. agent, because we like to do 5-10 shows in the U.S. if we can.
I would love to see you guys live. I would love that. And I know Dudley would too, and I'm sure Xander would, and all of your fans and friends.
that's the plan. We'll see if we
yeah.
can make it happen. And we're ready.
It will.
September,
it just
October,
will happen.
We've set it aside
when,
for this. So.
It'll happen when the timing's right. Universe has its own timing. But I'm looking forward to it. And everybody get out there and check out 6x6's website, 6x6 band website, and robertberry.com as well. Thank you, Robert, for all of the ways that you live your music. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I'm looking forward already.
I appreciate your time. I know we're almost out of time, so
yeah.
Thanks for having me, and we'll be speaking soon.
Yes, soon. And I'm looking forward already to the next time I have you on. So bye for now, everyone. Bye for now, Robert. Thank you.
Bye-bye. See you later.
Bye.